Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 199 of... episode 1 of Radio Radar.
Was that the way we're going to do it?
That is the way we're doing it.
All right.
How's everyone doing today? I am your host, Hollander Cooper. Here with me is...
Tom Agrino,
who's quite loud, as you'll learn.
I'm excited to be back on a podcast.
Tom Agrino and...
Lucas Sullivan.
And an old favorite. How you doing, man?
Henry Gilbert, hey.
There he is. There's Hank.
Yep,
Hank the Tank is on the podcast.
That's
first
me.
Podcast in 5 months, 4 months.
Somebody recently dropped
February
190 some days. So is Games Radar's new official podcast. You'll note that the name is not Talk Radar.
It's Radio Radar.
Radio Radar coming into your ears. Now that we need to
wait.
There's an
radio. Radio Radar. Nope.
Don't do it.
That's Top Gun right there. That's Top Gun's Radio Radar.
Yes, that is.
I didn't realize it was a song
that
until you pointed it out.
Surprisingly not. It wasn't me watching Top Gun that inspired the name.
Oh, really?
It was the need for a name.
Right.
That wasn't Talk Radar.
What did we have? We had Jam Radar.
Jam Radar, Radar Jam.
Radar Jam.
Talk Dratus, which I personally like because in Battlestar Galactica, Dratus is the radar of the future.
But the way we got to Talk Dratus was mine of Invasion!
And you were super psyched about
the Invasion. I was like driving one day and I was just like, let's call this thing Invasion.
You just screamed out loud, Invasion!
I did, actually.
The issue is,
your story for it was like,
you know what would be cool? If it was like ping, 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 and then like all the blips on the radar for the Invasion. I'm like, that's visual.
I know.
It would have been good.
Well, I just watched Battlestar Galactica.
There you go.
I just got to the end, and it's like they're invading the fun. Well, I don't want to tell you how Battlestar Galactica ends, but...
They arrive in the 1980s.
There is a moment when the Dratus becomes just...
Invaded. Yes.
And it's a touching scene.
Yes. Also touching is... Talk Radar.
Right.
Just real quick, elephant in the room.
Mm-hmm.
As I said, we're not Talk Radar. There's a good chance Talk Radar is never going to come back this form. Probably not.
I would say the Talk Radar is dead.
Yes.
Let's just go ahead and take out all of it. Everyone else
has been saying that Talk Radar is dead. We will say that Talk Radar, if you want the old classic Talk Radar flavor...
Get it off of iTunes now.
I was going to say, there's the people who made Talk Radar special, Chris Antista, Brett Elston,
Michael Raparez.
They don't actually work at Games Radar anymore, we don't want to be like. Imagine if Ringo Starr was like, I'm just going to tour and call myself the Beatles.
That's not fair. That makes me Ringo Starr. I don't appreciate that.
you're more. I was going to say you're Paul McCartney. I'm Ringo Starr.
I consider myself the George Harrison of the Talk Radar.
I was giving you Paul McCartney, and you went for George Harrison.
That was a questionable.
I like Ringo.
While My Guitar Slowly Weeps.
And that song is awesome.
Oh, Gently Weeps. That is a good song.
But the thing is, it wouldn't be right for us to call this Talk Radar to be Talk Radar because we're not.
Right.
And we're not going to be a spiritual successor. We're just Games Radar's new podcast that happens to share half of a name and many similarities with Talk Radar, and we can say fuck. So that's pretty much the. I mean, that's just how it is.
We're not going to.
But that was our one.
I already said it. Also,
oh, we have to edit that out then.
Wait, oh, really?
No, I'm lying. But hopefully, you will like us or love us because you know what? I think this thing's going to make at least 199 episodes.
Yeah, maybe.
I guarantee it.
What's the name of it again?
Radio Radar.
And we're done.
Okay, so...
He was just about to start the chorus.
We'll get to the chorus later. I'm sure this isn't the last time Tom is going to play this horrible song that inspired the name of our podcast.
Anyway.
So we are going to be a weekly podcast. We're going to talk about top 7, news, reviews, everything you like, developer interviews, maybe some special stuff. Who knows? We're crazy like that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, indeed.
And let's dive into something that may be kind of familiar. We're going to jump right into the top 7.
Yay.
In the effort of not being anything like Talk Radar.
No, we're not trying to be nothing like them. We're trying to be whatever makes the most sense.
It's a blank slate.
For the current.
Okay, that's fair.
I mean, it's like the Battlestar Galactica reboot. They're not going to say, hey, let's not have a ship called Battlestar Galactica. No, you're still going to have that, but you're going to make Starbuck into a hot chick.
Right. Was she not a hot chick originally?
She was a guy.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so we are hoping that we're the hot Starbuck. That's our hope.
Okay.
Yeah, the original has its place. We're the hot Starbuck.
We are the hot Starbuck of Games Radar podcast.
We'll then leave at some point to film Bionic Command or Bionic Woman TV show, right?
We'll leave at one point to do Pokemon Monday, and then we'll come back.
Bionic Commando.
I didn't realize she was in that.
I meant Bionic Woman.
I know she was the voice actor for some Activision game. I can't remember. I saw her at Comic-Con one year. I had no idea who she was.
I can be the first one to tell you that was an extremely cool story. And we're happy you're our bro.
She's one of those like TV actresses or actors that they announce as the voice actor for a game. Like, isn't this big? We've got a person from Friday Night Lights. And you're right. Like, I don't care.
Well, it's the same with
like Friday Night Lights people. All they do is do voiceover in like Activision games now.
No, yeah. I mean, it was the same with Trisha Helfert. She was in StarCraft 2. Battlestar Galactica. What else?
Mass Effect 3.
Yeah, she was. That's true.
She was Edie.
Well, same with like when they announced Michael Madsen as a voice in something like, great, Michael Madsen will be in anything.
We almost had him as fifth Michael on this podcast, but he would not accept our check for $50. He said it was far too much for him.
Right.
So top seven, this is Mario week. So the top seven for this week is the top seven most disturbing things about the Mushroom Kingdom.
So before we get into this, what inspired Mario week? Where did that come from?
A Mario game came out.
Oh,
or will come out.
Or will come out this Sunday. We're trying to prepare you. We're trying to ruin this Mario game by making you overthink things.
How many Mario games have come out this year?
This will be only the second if you're only counting retail box copies of things. There's Mario Tennis and this one.
Okay.
In the calendar year, this is the fourth because in November there was 3D Land, December Mario Kart 7. In the fiscal year, yes.
And also, I mean, later this year there are a few more.
Okay.
Well, there's Paper Mario and New Super Mario Brothers U. But Luigi's Mansion got delayed till next year, so.
Yeah. So let's dive into the things that make it disturbing.
Are we going to have Mario Week, like, every time one of these comes out?
Probably.
Yeah. Mm. May as well.
I see no issue with that.
Anyway, sorry.
Number seven, everything is alive. Now, this was actually inspired by Henry bringing it up.
Mm-hmm.
So go into why that's so disturbing and explain why it's true.
Well, it's just so weird. Like, you walk around in these regular areas and you see, you know, mountains in the background or things in the sky. And then you see, like, this has eyes and a mouth. And they're just looking at you everywhere. And, like, then you start noticing.
Eternally trapped in this stasis of silence.
Exactly. Just eyes everywhere.
Imploring eyes, even saying, please, bust me open, Mario,
even
so my soul can
have eyes. Yeah. Think about, like, there's a company, like a Smith & Wesson kind of company that makes ammunition. And they're actually probably, like, every single one, they're, like, raising it from birth. And now you're, like, you're a giant bullet bill. Kill Mario!
Well, it could be like an ant. I would say that they have the functional similarities of an ant.
Yeah. They just can go forward.
Right.
And then I never realized that, okay, they shoot out of a wall and then they'll hit a wall and explode.
They don't
shoot out of a gun.
Yeah.
And then they hit a wall and they explode if they don't hit Mario.
Well, not even,
that is
right?
Their
they
entire
just bounce
life.
Off.
Sometimes they just blow up.
That is the circle of life.
Yeah.
But there's also, like, even in, like, in Mario 2, the vegetables have eyes and mouths.
Oh,
and,
wow, that's true.
No, I was most confused about that photo that you're the screen image
you pulled
that you
up
had of like peach with a what
umbrella.
Is she that actually is hanging on to there?
But that's from Super Princess Peach, her friendly umbrella.
Point. So if the top of the umbrella is the head,
right,
and the bottom is the feet, she's holding on like
midway down the shaft kind of the.
Yeah, what part is? Yeah, I mean, I know she's holding onto the shaft, but what part of the human body would you say that is?
I don't know. What part do you think it is, Henry?
let's just go with the shaft.
Yeah,
keep this PC.
Shaft.
She's gripping its shaft. That's all. That's the PC way of handling this.
She's hanging onto that shaft for a really long time.
She is, and she's swinging it around like crazy. Let's roll over to number six before we get this show canceled after one episode. The political system is a complete mess.
I'll buy that.
Now, the excuse for this, there were a few reasons. The biggest reason is the leader of the Mushroom Kingdom is Princess Peach.
Now, she was incompetent.
She is incompetent. We know that. But
not because
why is she
you
even in
sexist.
Charge of anything? She's in charge of, like, in
It's
in
not this, that we're sexist.
Yeah.
She just cannot stop being kidnapped.
No, she
Maybe
can't.
She like, wants to be
she
kidnapped.
She needs to have a gun under her pillow or
a
something.
A bullet bill. But I mean, like, so in the Super Mario Brothers 1 instruction booklet, it says the king, like, just fled during the events of the first game.
That's the last time you'll hear about the king.
Well, there are some people that think the king may be one of the mushroom kings in Super Mario Brothers 3 that gets turned into an animal. But no matter what, he never came back.
Guys, if I'm a drug dealer, can you call me the Mushroom King?
We can.
Thank you.
But he left.
Try to avoid that because then we have to fire you.
Yes. So
just
he
money on the side, Tom.
And now it's just Peach in charge, on top of the fact that how many humans have we seen in Mario games, period? Would you say a dozen at most?
Maybe.
At most, other than Mario, Luigi, Daisy,
Mario.
What about all the
Mario
golfers,
and Waluigi
though?
Are barely.
Those are all. Mario, those are all like there are probably about a dozen. We've seen thousands of totes.
Yeah.
So it's almost like South Africa right now, where you have like seven human characters and then a giant, like seven members of the minority just ruling over the majority. And even though her last name is Toadstool, she's not a toad.
Not toad at all.
And Toad Town is the capital. Like everything about that. It seems like it should have been in their constitution. Like you have to be a
naturalized citizen.
Yes,
you have to be been born here clearly, and not like just some Martian from outer space that has taken over.
It's super weird.
Yeah,
and it's just the fact that like a majority of the toads are indentured servants. It seems like they're just like guarding her castle, but obviously not well. So it seems like she's just like, I like keeping you guys around.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, they choose to wear. Well, there's Toadsworth, who is like her professional butler, like her Alfred or something, that's always hanging around and going like, oh no.
That is exactly what he says in most situations.
He's a slave.
He is. That's essentially what we're getting at. Number five, and you mentioned this earlier, everyone lives in constant fear of an evil monster.
Right.
Reason being, there's never been a Mario game where you attempt even to stop Bowser from doing
something. I like your stance on this. You're basically advocating preemptive war.
No. I'm saying you're taking
the Bush position.
No, not even. I'm saying, how about you get some guards?
Guards?
Guard your borders. I'm saying build a giant wall, put a bunch of toads with bullet bills on it, and when you see Bowser storming through, I mean, just in terms of, I'm not saying that they need to strike early. Right. I'm just saying they need to make sure that there's a giant monster isn't going to just run into the castle, kidnap the princess, and leave for like the 30th time.
They need some homeland security.
They do. Mm-hmm. They need essentially, and what's the U.S. like?
Homeland Security.
Homeland Security, is that it? Isn't there like an abbreviation?
NSA, the National Security Agency.
Yeah, they need a toad version of the NSA.
But who would they staff it with?
Probably toads that wouldn't do anything.
Yeah, the toads are so bumbling and easy to kill. Like, yeah.
If it was a comic book, they'd probably hire like Waluigi to do it. Right. Like how they get Doctor Strange to be in charge of Arkham. Like that's essentially what, and then it would turn out he's like, I'm just trying to kill Luigi because I'm Waluigi, because that makes sense.
Well, it's another weird thing in that world that like Mario and Luigi, like they should just live in the castle at this point. Like they have to go there so often, but they live in there like some mushroom house outside of town in the RPGs. And then it's also never clear if they're – sometimes they're guys from Brooklyn who fell through pipes and then came out in the Mushroom Kingdom. And then other times they are Mushroom Kingdom citizens that have always lived there.
With an Italian accent.
With Italian accents, yeah. Oh, man, it's so bad.
Can you imagine being the toad mom that gives birth to Mario? It's like, what kind of freakish monster?
Dashes.
Well, they were technically dropped off by a stork.
Oh.
That is true. Yeah.
I didn't know the lore there.
Well, that's Yoshi's Island.
In Yoshi's Island, dropped off by a stork. And, because I guess that's where all babies come from in the Mario universe,
interesting message
I suppose.
To teach the kids,
I like to think that means that they're actually the children of storks. Or they're kidnapped from the real world by evil storks,
right.
and redeposited.
They're actually the storks' dinner, and they just can't.
They can't eat. They're so full from eating all of these Mario twins,
right? The little Mario minis that come out.
But yes. the point is,
sometimes a Mario mini just breaks loose and is not being consumed by a stork.
Tasty. But the point is, if you are a toad, there's nothing to stop Bowser from killing you,
right? Nothing at all.
Literally nothing.
Really no accountability either. Like, he'll destroy you and then, like, he'll get dropped into lava, but that's barely even punishment for him.
His castle
this point.
Is half lava.
Yeah, he
obviously
seems to like
likes it.
Yeah.
You can't destroy the mother of dragons, right?
Does
the father of
anyone
dragons.
Actually die in the Mushroom Kingdom? Like,
Peach's father, probably.
No, he just abdicated and is in the Caymans right now.
That's true.
Having plundered all of the toads' wealth.
Well, clearly things die if there's booze. Like, if booze exists, then people die and there's ghosts.
That's true.
So.
It's super sad.
What are they the ghosts of? Toads? This is crazy.
Probably toads murdered by Bowser.
Right.
Who then,
Peach.
Number four, even though there's this great evil guy who runs around killing everyone, they still kind of chill with him.
Yeah, he's kind of a cool guy in the Mushroom Kingdom. Yeah. Like, I guess we're fine. We need a fifth for our whatever.
We're playing doubles tennis. Well, yeah,
damn, you beat me to it. But it's like, it's not just that he plays with them. It's that he plays everything with them.
Yeah, I know, right?
It's like, you have to imagine that this would be like any war. So it's like, you have to imagine, it's World War II, and It's not just like, oh, Germany hosted the Olympics right before World War II started. This is like 1943, Olympics being in like New York City, and Hitler showing up being like, I think I'm going to do some track and field. Yeah, what do you guys think?
I've been practicing this long jump.
Yeah, I'm pretty stretching his arms out.
Pretty stellar at it at this point.
and then being like, oh yeah, totally. You want to come hang out with us afterwards? And he'd be like, yeah, sure.
Yeah, let's have some drinks. It'll be fun.
Yeah, and I mean, all of the villains hang out with them. They don't even make them be on separate teams.
Yeah, there's no Jim Crow here.
No.
It was also, yeah, it was weird. I was looking up the history of Donkey Kong for a feature called The History of Donkey Kong.
Aptly named.
And
we're going to have to work on the originality of those titles.
In the Mario versus Donkey Kong games, like, DK goes back to being evil and, like, kidnaps Pauline and gets really pissed off and hates Mario. But then at the end, like, Mario, like, kind of just wags his finger at Donkey Kong and then just gives him a gift. And then they're all friends again. Like, it's so
they're very accepting of one another.
And this has happened in multiple games. Like, it's a series. Like, at the end of one, he's like, hey, I forgave you, Donkey Kong. Here's a free toy.
Is Donkey Kong, like, his Joker?
I think Donkey Kong is, actually, because DK was a good guy in Donkey Kong Country when there was no Mario around. And then Mario, he sees Mario again, and he just goes crazy.
So does Mario create the villains he fights?
Well, I think at least in the case of Donkey Kong, yes.
And probably Bowser, Wario, because yeah. I really can't see the other side of that coin existing without Mario running around.
Well, I don't know. Wario was the bad guy to begin with. He stole Mario. He actually did property theft against Mario. Like, he didn't kidnap a girl. He steals Mario's castle. Like, Mario has a castle
So he literally stole a property. It wasn't just property theft.
He stole property from Mario.
Like, it didn't take off
show
with
up
his,
and like deem squatter's rights or something.
Well, while Mario was off in Sarasara Land in the first Mario Land, he comes back home and sees that Wario has usurped his property.
This is a truly staggering amount of knowledge you have about this.
Yeah.
But I will say that this entire point is probably a reflection on the corrupt political system. Because if Peach would just stop pardoning everyone,
they need a death penalty.
I know.
They seriously need
Peach needs to enact a death penalty.
I'm imagining somebody being tied up and just a single bullet bill going straight through.
Right.
And there's just nothing left.
Only it's a toad that is being substituted
in
for
something
Bowser.
I forgot to mention. In Smash Brothers, one of Peach's attacks is shove a toad in front of her and look away, and it deflects a blow for you. And the toad looks horrified.
That's such a great move. I love that move. It's the kind of like mean joke that only the Smash Brothers guys could get away with.
It's pretty reprehensible, actually.
It is. It's horrible. It's like I happen to keep a small child in my backpack, and I throw him in front of bullets.
It's not even a fully grown toad. It's an adolescent toad.
I'm going to have to boycott that game now.
Pretty
That's just because you're bad at it. Number three, it's most the Mushroom Kingdom's most historically significant battle never happened.
No.
So Super Mario Brothers 3, probably one of did we give it?
Yep. It's number one.
It's our number one Mario game of all time.
Up on the site right now.
Two notes about that. Number one, there's a good chance you don't actually play as Mario in that game.
Probably.
Because it's actually a play. Mm. Now, the game starts off with a curtain being raised. And then you run around on levels with platforms that cast a shadow on the wall behind them and are bolted to that wall.
And you can actually go behind.
Yes, and you can go behind them. And then at the end of every level, you exit stage right. That happens in every level of the game. And then at the end, the curtain falls and it says game over. There aren't curtains in the real world. It has to be a play. And if it's a play, there's a good chance that, like, instead of Mario, you're just playing, like, some toad that just shoved a hat really hard onto his head and grew a fake mustache.
And then, once again, Bowser gets away scot-free.
So, I mean, some people have suggested that maybe Super Mario Bros. 3 is a stage version of the original Mario. Like, it's like
historical reenactment?
Yeah, no, it's not even that. It's like it's the spin they put on it for their textbooks.
Oh,
I see. It wasn't just of course, Bowser alone couldn't. It was all of Bowser's kids. Like, everyone came in, and Mario was super. He didn't just
history
jump on an axe.
Written by the victor or whatever.
Yeah, like, history is written by the victor. It's the it's the politically correct version of the story.
Right.
And that's essentially the tale. And, I mean, it's not even the only game in the Mario series that openly didn't happen. Mario 2 ends with Mario being asleep, and it's his dream.
Yeah.
So, like, there's already a precedent for that. So it's like so many of these major parts of the Mario franchise as we see them just never happened.
Never happened.
Wait, does the final boss of Super Mario 2 even exist then?
Wart has never showed up again except in Link's Awakening.
Yes.
He's the character in Link's Awakening.
So do you think that maybe like Mario mistakenly stepped on a frog and then was like his dream was like him trying to rationalize why he would do that? He created an entire reality just where he could live and defeat that frog without feeling bad
Mario's
about it.
Mario's got some formative psychological damage.
Sure that's does. Happening. I think Mario's dream logic just couldn't imagine Bowser. It just got Bowser wrong and just thought of him as a giant frog instead. Like he was still a king with a crown and stuff.
But. Like a reptilian king or an amphibian, I guess.
Did you guys notice how Bowser looks nothing like he does in the game in that Super Mario 3 art? He has like orange hair.
Really?
Hmm? What do you mean?
And a cape.
Well, yeah, they gave him a cape. I'll admit that. But no, Bowser has, well,
Bowser has orange hair.
Yeah, technically it's red hair now, but it's
he it dyed was, it. It was in the blood of all the toads he murdered. Right.
It's not actual dye. It's just toad blood.
It was
you
orange.
To refresh it every day.
Yeah, and there's no problem with him doing that. What is? Continue on.
Number 2, drugs are literally everywhere. Yes, of course, we have to talk about drugs in the
right.
Mario series.
Mm-hmm. Mushrooms.
Mushrooms are essentially like the uppers and downers.
Right. The fireballs are probably like peyote.
Imagine they would be. Yeah.
Crushed up.
What were the stars?
Stars are meth.
You
definitely.
Think they're meth?
They're definitely
Why
meth.
Not ecstasy? It makes everything start flashing.
I don't know. Because with meth, you become powerful.
Like, people like on meth can get shot and like not feel it.
Yeah. All right. So that's meth. But see, the thing that makes me – it's obviously drugs are everywhere and the main character does them all the time.
All the time.
But the thing about it is like there are like especially the level in – is it Yoshi's Island?
Well, Touch Fuzzy, Get Dizzy.
It
doesn't get any clearer than that.
Is a level where there are floating spores and if you touch them, you just start tripping.
And you get dizzy.
You get – well – If dizzy means tripping balls,
balls.
Well, then you get dizzy.
Yeah, Yoshi's eyes go crazy. Like, he's clearly
stoned.
I do
not trust him with that baby on his back.
Well, at least with the mushrooms, like you could say, hey, this is just a reference to Alice in Wonderland or something, you know. But
you could. You'd be wrong because it's clearly about mushrooms.
If you wanted to be innocent about it, though, well, then.
Sure. If you want to explain it to a kid, you could be like, oh, let's watch Alice in Wonderland, the Tim Burton classic.
You trip balls in this movie, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But there's no explaining Touch Fuzzy, Get Dizzy. Yeah.
No, that was just the
That's just straight up hardcore drug use.
Yeah.
I love moments like that where Nintendo, like, gets a little dirtier than they normally would be. Or they sneak in something like that into a kid's game.
Yeah.
Like,
and you trip so hard.
Yeah.
Like you have to like usually when that happens in the game, your only response is just like, "Well, I need to stop moving, or else I'm going to fall off the world."
I need to stop moving and just trip balls for a little bit.
Would you say the raccoon leaf is the would be weed then because it's a leaf
and you fly high?
Maybe it's just fly the tobacco.
Yeah,
that's what I meant.
Oh yeah, you know you do fly high though.
Woo.
That's a good point.
Yeah, just to end, like weed.
Number 1, Henry. I'll let you do the honors.
The kingdom's greatest hero is a dumpy plumber.
I love that you use dumpy here.
On your recommendation?
I know.
So
dumpy is such a
We discussed
word.
Earlier that Mushroom Kingdom has horrible problems. Everything is alive. There's an evil monster killing everything. And the only person that can even – that even tries to stop it is Mario.
He's a little dumpy.
He's not the best at anything. Like in Super Mario Brothers 2, they establish that everyone is better than him at something. Mm-hmm. He's sort of well-rounded.
He's always the overall character in every game he's in.
Because he has no special qualities. Anyone can pick
other
up.
Other than an amazing stamina to trip balls.
Yeah.
But he can take more drugs than any man that has ever lived.
Not more than, like, Luigi. Like, in other games where you can play as any other character, they all deal with it. They can hold their shit just as well as he can.
That is true.
And Luigi's got a higher jump, too.
He has a higher jump. Toad is just stronger for some reason. Mm-hmm. Peach can give everyone an upskirt by floating around.
Right.
I mean, everyone has their own benefits. And Mario is just a fat Italian guy who
has the will of a soldier.
Yes. Yeah. So it's disturbing but honorable.
Right.
You know what I just realized? Like, so, okay.
What did you just realize?
The Toads are the ones that place the power-ups throughout the world, right? They are the ones that distribute...
I think technically they're the cookers. It's the – what's the term?
Oh.
The pushers?
Well, there are the toad.
We're such good druggies.
There are toad houses that give you free power-ups, but The power-ups placed within the stages, I think, are you're
naturally occurring.
Yeah, naturally occurring.
Naturally occurring mushroom. Like imagining a National Geographic, like this mushroom's normal habitat is inside of a question mark block.
But not only that, so like in New Super Mario Brothers, the Toads can wield the power-ups, right?
Yeah.
So why don't they have like an army of Fire Flower Toads that just go rescue the princess?
That's good point.
Because they're lazy.
Yeah. I guess so.
Because they're also
actually
incompetent.
You know
and maybe
what?
They have
I
no...
I bet you the king, like the castle intentionally holds it back from them because they're going to get overthrown otherwise.
Yeah, that's true.
Toadsworth is going to be the king.
Revolution of...
Toads may...
They're going to decapitate Peach right in the middle of that big hallway.
That or Toads just OD easily.
Let them eat mushrooms. That's right. Essentially the scene that's going to happen.
Right.
Or yeah, they did that and they all just OD.
Right.
But wait, then they'd be eating themselves if they're eating mushrooms?
I wouldn't put it past them.
Wow, that's number negative
cannibalism.
One in any game where the Toads take mushrooms, they're cannibalizing.
Right. Because I guess you are eating their heads.
And they have eyes too.
Wow.
They do.
That is horrifying.
It's pretty disgusting.
So what is the one up then? Is that just a different kind?
It's a rotten mushroom that they've been
stashing
away.
That would be a poison
away.
Mushroom.
Oh, that's true.
I don't know. But you know,
no, it's like how
it's super tasty.
If you eat or if you bathe in the blood of youth, then you live longer. It's the same deal.
It's the same deal.
They take a younger...
No, the one-up is that drug that the FDA has locked away that they won't give to us.
Oh, the immortal
yeah,
immortal it's when
they found they found the well of life and they sampled the water and found the genetic code and then destroyed
right.
it.
Wow.
Yeah.
The telomeres or whatever it's called.
Yeah. It was, and then the crater where they destroyed it, that became the Grand Canyon.
Oh.
Fun fact for conspiracy theorists out there.
Good to know.
All right, so that's the top seven. We're going to talk about the top seven every week.
We spent a long time on that top seven.
And you know what? It's only going to get longer. Or wait, no. about the same length, actually.
Isn't that what you told me last night?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, boy.
Oh.
Is that where you're going with this?
Sorry.
Top? No, we're not on the top. Current events.
Current events. So
Sony.
Start off with the news. So right now we are neck deep in Gamescom.
Yep.
Actually, we're in America.
Gamescom hasn't started.
There are people.
Yet.
By the time you listen to this,
oh right,
you will be neck deep in Gamescom news. But a majority of the news has probably already come out because EA and Sony have had their press conferences.
Right. I love the time traveling that we're going to have.
We're doing some time traveling.
Yeah.
Gamescom happens while we sleep.
It does.
But Sony. Yeah. I personally did not watch the EA conference. Did anybody?
It was early in the morning.
It was at like 7 a.m. Who could be bothered?
I just read the Twitter feed during it.
Yeah.
But this Gamescom, I feel like, is a lot busier than last year's Gamescom.
Did anything interesting happen at the EA conference?
Yeah, they had the date for Dead Space 3.
February 5th.
Yeah. February 5th. And then I thought it was news that they announced that... Army of Two is coming out in March, but I
think that
guess
was already known.
Yeah.
But yeah, Army of – and the other big announcement was Origin is heading to Mac, which actually isn't a big announcement because Origin heading to Mac doesn't mean anything because it,
no one plays?
No, it's not even – it's what's the point if the games aren't – like
right.
Origin coming to Mac doesn't mean all of Origin's games come to Mac. But new SimCity is officially coming to Mac, which is something that anyone who has followed like – any game with Sim in the title comes out on Mac anyway. All of the Sims games, all of the Sim Cities, Spore. Anything by Maxis or any of that group ends up on Mac.
I love
how now
it, yeah.
official.
I love how EA was like, yeah, we're going to do you a solid. Release it on the Mac.
Hey, guys. Mac players want to do stuff while they do other things, right? Here's a Sim game.
Right. The only type of game that a Mac owner wants to play is a Sim game.
I was about to argue with Civ, but that actually is right on the same note. But so the bigger news came out of the Sony press conference.
Yeah.
A bunch of Vita news. The biggest...
All the Vita stuff that should have been at E3, because I feel like after E3 we were all just like, well, I thought they were going to do stuff about the Vita.
No, they had to talk about Wonder Book.
All right, so let's get the games. There was several games announced.
There was Paper... thing? Tearaway. Oh,
we're doing good so far.
There was Tearaway. Tearaway is the new Media Molecule IP, which looks – Media Molecule, obviously Little Big Planet. The
right.
game looks a lot
When they were shown that trailer, I was thinking that it was going to be a game about that Wild West scene where, like, barns regularly collapse while the cowboy is hiding.
The trailer. The first half of it is just literally – actually, not, that's not true. The trailer is, like 10 minutes long. But, like, the first minute is just the character just standing there while things fall over him.
Right.
But – so it's a game where you play as, like, a little papercraft guy running around in a world where you can manipulate it with your – like the touch screen and the back touch screen. Mm-hmm. There was one cool thing where if you tap the bottom of the screen, it like punches a hole in the paper. Mm-hmm. And I think it uses the back camera where it literally shows the ground or whatever you're looking at.
Oh, really?
So if you were like looking at a wall and you punched a hole in the wall in the screen, you'd see the wall, which was a super small but cute touch. Mm-hmm.
And so this is basically just an adventure game or
– Adventure game. It's a third-person camera view. It's not a 2D platformer.
It looks gorgeous.
It does. Yeah. It looks really cool. And it looks like it has a ton of charm. I mean, obviously, I feel like if Sackboy was as popular as Sony hoped, that this would star Sackboy. But instead, it stars Sackboy covered in paper.
Nice. Was it just he had me? A name.
Yeah, I don't know. Was it just me or did his head look like the King of All Cosmos' head?
I think it did a little too. Yeah.
Well, I thought we decided his head was an envelope.
It was an envelope.
But it still looks like that. And there's a stamp on his head. Also announced, PlayStation Plus is coming to the Vita. And they're raising the storage for cloud saving to a gig.
That's nice.
I
have maxed out my cloud storage like really? Almost immediately.
PS1 games are coming to Vita on August 28th, which
that's
I'm
nice.
Super excited
yeah,
for.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
I still haven't played through all of Final Fantasy VII because I got bored when I played it as a kid.
Yeah.
And now I bought it on PlayStation 3 and was like, man, this game could not look worse on a big screen TV. So now I'm going to give it a go on Vita.
Everything looks pretty when it's tiny.
And the other big Sony announcement, and Ratchet & Clank Full Frontal Assault is coming to Vita as well, but cool. They announced a bunch of new characters for PlayStation All-Star Battle Royale that it was coming to Vita and that if you buy one, you get both, which that's the first game that I actually care about that with. So new characters are?
There's Dante.
Dante. New Dante. Emo Dante.
Yeah, Emo Dante. Ratchet and Clank.
I hate that phrase. Yes, as one character. Spike.
Spike from Ape Escape.
Yep.
And then
Sackboy.
Sackboy.
Who Sackboy is like... I kind of hoped they were going to do something interesting, like make it a bunch of small Sackboys, but it's just like Sackboy hit with a beam to be really big.
So you're actually looking forward to this game?
Half and half.
Half and half?
Lucas and I think we're on the same page with this game, where we want to be excited. We're both big Smash Brothers fans.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I'm a big Smash Brothers fan because I like the gameplay. I love the characters and everything, but I love the gameplay. And this game, 50% plays exactly like that, and I'm totally cool with that. I don't care that they're ripping off Smash Brothers. But the way you score in that game completely undermines everything.
Oh, really?
No
so
good.
If you played Smash Brothers, you know that the way you play Smash, you knock people off a stage. Uh-huh. That's how you kill them. In this game, you build up a bar that executes a super meter that is a one-hit kill.
Oh.
That's the only way you kill people. And in our extensive playing of the beta, in playing it at several demo events, every time I walk away and I'm just like, man, that kind of ruins everything.
It's because, like, you'll get hit way into the air, and you're, you know, in a Smash game, it's like, oh, okay, I'm dead. Time to prep for, you know, the next life, the next stock. Here, you just, like, drift to the ground. Or if you fall in water, you just float there.
It's almost like if you played Smash Brothers, there's the Smash Ball, which is, like, your character's super move.
Hey, your Final Smash.
Final Smash. It's almost as if, like, every character... Like, once you beat up people enough, you unlocked one, and that's the only way to kill. Like, it just doesn't really work.
It's a balance issue. It's a real balance
problem. Because we've noticed there are some characters that have, like, really – like, their level twos make it really easy to kill at least three people – or three people, where other people's level one let you do that. And other people have, like, super powerful level twos, and other people have weak ones. Like, it just inherently – you're going to have, like, a bunch of people playing as the same character.
Yeah.
Though I will say that I'm like, I almost think that it may just be because they're only showing the game off in 3-minute chunks, and I don't think the game should actually ever be played like that. Mm-hmm. Because it doesn't, like, if somebody gets to their level 3 and kills everyone, it's pretty much game over.
Well, it.
Oh, what?
Sorry, go.
I was going to say, the only hope I have for, like, the balance issue being fixed is the fact that that Department of Sony, like, hired Seth Killian last month.
And they just delayed the game by a month.
Yeah, I mean, that's the question with hiring Seth Killian. Because it's like, usually games are pretty feature complete fairly well in advance of their release date. So I'm wondering if he's actually going to be able to get in there and really affect any kind of...
I think his thing, like, with... I think he talked about, like, how with all the Street Fighter games, what he would do is he would play... Like, they'd have a finished enough version for him to play. Mm-hmm. And then he'd play it and be like, fix this, fix this. This punch should do this much damage. Stuff like that. So... At this point in the I could imagine, I've never worked on a game before, so this could be completely wrong, but I could imagine it's at the point now where it's complete enough that he could at least play it and say...
You need to rebalance this.
Here's, so it's more of a balancing. Just to balance.
They do it for 3 months. That is a good amount of time.
Three months?
If it's balanced things, balanced patches come out in games in a week after they come out.
But it sounds like your guys' fundamental issue with this game isn't a balance
issue. Balance all of the super abilities.
They would have to take
the mechanics.
No, because like the super abilities are unbalanced. That's the issue. The issue is some characters, their level 2 super ability is much more powerful than other people's.
I see.
So they would need to balance all of those.
Well, also for me, it's like there are some things, like it looks like Smash at a glance, but there's no ledge hanging. You throw by using the right analog stick, which makes no sense to me.
Some of it is just the differences, but other things it's like I could get over all that if the new mechanic was better. If I didn't feel like the new mechanic was just them doing that because they're like, hey, if we do this, we're not a Smash Brothers clone anymore. But it's not a better mechanic. It's just a different one.
Mm-hmm. I do like, however, that instead of 2 buttons, you use 3.
It's a minor thing, but yeah, it's nice. And the characters are cool. Like, yes. I want to play as Dante.
Mm-hmm. I want to play as Sweet Tooth.
I want Dante to fight against the God of War, against Kratos. That's awesome.
Well, I like that Sony seems a lot more open to having third-party characters than Nintendo is with Smash Brothers, too. Like, I like it's more open than like that one.
Yeah.
In that way.
I'm super excited for it, despite being skeptical, because, I mean... There, honestly, at this point, it's like I know I shouldn't say I'm just looking forward to it for the story mode, but I have a feeling that the story mode's going to – I'm not going to care about any of those problems, and it's probably going to be really charming. Mm-hmm. And I'm hoping that Seth Killian can fix all of my problems with it in 3 months. Seth,
we'll
if you're listening.
If anybody
can.
He's
a healer.
Yeah, if anyone can.
So one thing you didn't mention from the Sony press conference was
Wonderbook?
Killzone Mercenaries.
Killzone – you mean Killzone swipe the touchscreen to kill guys.
Right. The Killzone, you get 200 yen for stabbing somebody in the face.
So it looks like it's a Killzone game where you play as an assassin. Or I guess a mercenary.
A bounty hunter?
Did you watch the live-action video that like preceded the gameplay in that trailer?
Yeah, where
they
were giving the money to Agent 47?
They were talking – that guy was Agent 47. Like at a certain point in it, I was like, is this a Hitman crossover game?
So when you say he didn't have the barcode on the back of his head.
No, but he was
– Right. That's creative license.
Yeah, he was a bald guy in a dress suit.
In all fairness, I feel like most bounty – aside from Dog, the bounty hunter, I feel like most bounty hunters out there are going to have no hair.
Yeah, but this guy it really
I don't know.
Look.
If you're a bounty hunter out there, write in. Tell us what your hair
I'd imagine
is.
No hair would be good because that way you don't leave hair follicles.
Yeah, that's true.
Well,
I don't know if we have actually a way for you to write in yet, but
– I thought in a fight, too, they couldn't pull your hair. Like, that's why UFC fighters, like, all just shave their heads.
I didn't even think of that.
That's a good idea. Then maybe he Vaseline's down his head beforehand.
Anyway, he's trying to kill a kid.
Yeah, I didn't get that. Are they abducting him, or do they imply that they straight shot him?
I don't know.
I think you're supposed to try to kill a child.
As far as the gameplay goes, I get the sense that you will get $1 million if you stab that child.
Real money.
Real money.
Real child. It's augmented reality.
Right.
I can't wait for the next generation when Sony can stop pretending people care about Killzone.
Listen, Sony is still pretending people care about Resistance. Killzone's still several pegs down.
Resistance is not bad.
Well, I actually like Killzone more than Resistance.
Well, and the Move, they're still pretending people care.
Well, that is fair. I
still haven't played Sorcery.
There was still I forgot that came out.
I know. I forgot that that was a thing.
So did Sony.
I don't even know what that is.
Actually, they showed off some other games that use Move. They showed off – what was it?
Until Dark, the new flashlight horror game.
They said that it's supposed to be like a teen horror movie.
And they were working on it with some famous people. I didn't see who. Mm-hmm.
But wasn't there another big thing they announced was that like if you buy a PS3 game and there's a Vita version, you get the Vita version for free. Like that's just a new rule they have.
Which means we're going to get a lot of Vita games that have a subtitle. Because I'm pretty sure you're not getting Assassin's Creed 3 Liberation.
Oh, definitely not.
But yeah, that's what like the PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale is like. it's I think it's the buy once, play anywhere or whatever thing they're saying. Like, this is supposed to be how they want people to do it, which means unless something drastic changes in terms of the PlayStation Vita's current market share, Sony's going to do it a bunch of times a year,
right.
And then Konami's going to do it once a year.
So, yeah, do we feel like this stuff is going to help PlayStation Vita? Because right now it's...
They announced games, and that helps. I mean, I remember a few days ago thinking about the fact that I couldn't name more than two or three Vita games coming out at all.
And it's funny because when they were launching it, they were like, yeah, we totally got our content plan all set to go. We got this game coming out now, and then a month later we got this one, blah, blah, blah.
And then they're like, by the way, August is being carried by Soundshapes. Yeah. Just FYI, everyone.
And Soundshapes is a fairly cool game.
But it's not a month carrying.
It's not a
flagship.
But after Resistance, game. They just stopped. Like, it just stopped. Like,
right.
There was nothing.
And I'm not sure. I mean, maybe the Killzone game could carry a month, but I don't know.
I'll buy it for...
I really don't know. I mean, I don't understand who actually the target audience for the Vita is.
PlayStation fanboys. Yeah. Oh, for the Vita. I thought you meant Killzone.
Oh, well,
I love my Vita.
I understand.
I didn't mean to insult people who just buy a Vita. I love the Vita. I've been playing it more than the 3DS recently because of Sound Shapes and there's some cool downloadable games. But, like...
It seems like they're trying to hit everybody with, like, the whole Tearaway. I don't know. It's like they're going as broad as possible.
Tearaway needs to come out, like... tomorrow.
Yeah. They really need terrible.
And I'm not just saying because Vita needs it. I mean, because I need it. That game looks so good.
Mm-hmm. But they have the Assassin's Creed game that's coming out that I mean, it's an original Assassin's Creed game for it.
And I can talk about having played
Assassin's Creed, they made an original Assassin's Creed game for mobile phones.
Let me say
like GameLoft just like
embargo will be up as of tomorrow for my hands-on of Assassin's Creed Liberation.
Hello.
And it plays wonderfully.
Oh, really?
It plays exactly like a console version except with like touchpad nonsense thrown in. But it was fun touchpad nonsense. But like I was running around I was jumping between trees in a forest assassinating guys. And it played exactly like a regular Assassin's Creed. In fact, it played better than most of the Assassin's Creed because it's using like a modified version of the Assassin's Creed 3 engine, which means I can jump between trees and I have all these cool weapons. Mm-hmm. And it has a new ability where you have three different outfits that you can change between and they completely change your moveset. Where like one of them is you're an assassin, one of them is you're a worker, which means you don't have armor, but you can like pick up a box and just pretty much go anywhere because people are like, oh, you're just some random girl who works on the docks. And then there's like... like a fancy lady dress that no one will literally stop you from going anywhere, but you have like no weapons and you die in like one hit. So you essentially it's almost like a stealth thing because you can charm men and then murder them in if you drag them somewhere quiet. So like they showed me like one way of playing each thing, and it seriously feels like that's a mechanic that would have been at home in a full console release. Like that probably could have carried. That's a bigger change to the formula than like the Brotherhood system in Assassin's Creed 2 Brotherhood.
It makes me think that's such a fully featured game though. Makes me think that they're going to port it next year.
Like, 100%. That's probably their next. That's their Assassin's
that's
Creed
their
Brotherhood.
The DLC HD version.
Yeah.
Though I'm also looking forward to Persona 4 The Golden, but I think I'm kind of alone.
Well, I mean, it's a port. There's a lot of ports coming to the system.
If I had a Vita.
But I'm still happy with my Vita, and I mean, Beck's levels in Sound Shapes alone justify the purchase of the entire handheld.
Speaking of Sound Shapes, do we want to...
Let's do a little bit of Sound Shapes
first. Touch
on
that.
Just FYI for people listening, we're in terms of show format...
Let them figure it out themselves.
No, they're kind of dumb.
Oh,
nah, just kidding. Fine, figure it out yourself.
By the way, I kind of like how you broke embargo on the Assassin's Creed stuff, but by the time people hear this, it's going to be all good.
That's what I said.
Yeah. Because we're recording on Tuesday, posting on Wednesday.
You did not say that, sir. I challenge people.
I was just
going to
say, don't expect a hard transition, folks. People are getting this today. This is the last time. No
this
more hand-holding.
All right.
Radio Radar does not hold hands after this first episode.
Hang on.
I don't think we have to. I think people will understand.
Damn it, I turned the sound off.
People will understand.
Yes!
Radio Radar.
Time is slipping away.
Does not hold hands. So, Sound Shapes. Let's do a little bit of Sound Shapes.
The shapes of the sounds.
So, you played it.
I did.
On
we gave it
both
a.
Systems.
Yes, played it extensively all the way through on Vita and then most of the way through and a ton of custom maps on PS3.
When the servers are down still, I believe. So you can't play
which is like
right
terrible
now.
Because that was probably one of my favorite parts of the game and people can't play it right now. Not a good look.
The custom.
The community.
I thought that was the entire point. I thought they just released a shell of a game so that people can make their own custom apps.
Yes, that to me seems like the end game of Sound Shapes. But it is pretty cool for how long it lasts, which is like an afternoon.
Right.
But yeah, I think we gave it 4 out of 5.
Yeah, but that's a last week release. So let's jump into more current releases.
Sure.
So you played another downloadable.
Yes, Dust an Elysian Tale, spelled tail like tail of a cat. Oh. And not why tail like a star.
Why would it be called that?
Because every single character in this game is an animal.
It's a furry?
We were dancing around the whole furry thing. Like,
does furry actually imply? Okay, like, it doesn't have to be a human dressed up as an animal.
No, it doesn't have. See, I didn't know it was such a sexualized term until.
It's not always.
Yeah, yeah. It can be someone who's
in its
just like
purest form. It's just cosplay.
It's like
yeah,
exactly. It's not even. Or it's even fan of. It's sort of like Brony, where you're a fan of things that involve friendship and magic, but that doesn't mean you get into a pony costume and.
Have intercourse.
Yes, there's no intercourse implied with the name, just like furry.
It's just
if you
people
want to get into yiffing,
are...
we can talk yiffing on another podcast.
I don't think I actually know what yiffing is.
Let's keep it that way. We are a rated R podcast. We do not want to take that much further.
We don't want to go NC-17
rated
with
X.
This.
So you play as animals.
You play as Dust, yes. He's like a samurai cat dude, and he's got this little... She's like... What is she? A Nimbat.
Nimbat.
Named Fidget.
Okay.
And yeah,
you just
it's
said a
like,
lot of words that have no actual meaning.
So this Nimbat fidget,
don't kill the
now,
messenger, Tom.
What does the Nimbat fidget do for you?
So she,
I actually don't
she's
care.
Like, oh my
the rest
god!
Of stuff. I just wanted to say both of those words together.
I hate you so
Henry,
much.
Can you say Nimbat fidget?
This that's fidget.
That's
her.
A no.
Fidget
that
is her.
Absolutely, the answer is
unequivocated no.
Fidget is her name, and she's a Nimbat. You say
that is correct. Is anyway. That a reference to something that I'm missing?
I'm thinking it's like Secret of Nim. Bat.
What?
Oh, a bat.
Nim being a creature.
A bat from Nim.
I'm thinking more like a... anyway, see...
I thought
so
Nimbat
the
was
Nim
an
game.
Insult.
Oh, yeah. Well, she's kind of ditzy, so maybe that's
I'm
going to
start using it
joke.
Like that.
You are a Nimbat.
You Nimbat.
All right, explain this, Nimbat.
So, yeah, she's...
Asshole.
The
I'm sorry. I want
that was...
You,
that was
you, Dust is the
that
sword.
That may have been an HR violation.
Yeah, this will be used as evidence in court. So you basically, it's an action RPG. You got sword slashing for Dust, and then Fidget can shoot like, it's funny, they make a joke out of it. It's like the most pathetic magic. But when you swing your sword around, you do a dust storm, and that makes her magic become like crazy powerful.
And it's a 2D platformer also.
It is a 2D platformer. If you've ever played Odinsphere, that was like the first thing I thought of. And that game was awesome. Like, mm-hmm. Not a lot of people played it.
Yep.
Yeah, I liked it. Pretty.
Yeah, very pretty.
Did you play Muramasa?
I didn't, but I always wanted to.
Let's not go into the did you play random obscure Japanese
Well, it's
game
not that games. Obscure. Like,
that
well,
never
they're both
is
in the same. They're both in the same.
I'd say everyone who had a Wii at that time was like, whoa, gotta get
well,
that
I just
game.
Play? I played Muramasa more than Odinsphere, so I was curious if it was like that.
I think, because they're very similar, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Now, this actually has, like, because Muramasa wasn't so much the Castlevania
nah.
Or Metroid style.
So this is a Metroidvania furry game.
You get additional abilities as you explore, and there's tons of hidden treasures to look for, which I honestly love because I'm just into that.
And a lot of them are indie game references?
Yeah, so there's also...
I don't want to spoil any, but...
They're friends, or no. I forget the term, but there are like buddies that you find in cages around the world, and it's just fun references to other hit indie games. We won't spoil
like,
them
well,
for
well,
you.
We can say one of them. What's like the first one you find, if you can remember?
Super Meat Boy. He just ooh, hops out of a cage, and it's like, whoa, I was not expecting that. You
that's
get
awesome.
Achievement for, wait, isn't that... dot, dot, dot.
Nice.
That's one of my favorite things about Super Meat Boy was all the cameos of indie right. characters.
Yeah, they're just like, they seem so friendly amongst each
yeah,
other to just lend their
they
properties.
They need to make a Smash Brothers with all of the indie characters.
Yeah.
Oh my
god. It shows
a
real sign of community.
Yeah, like exactly. And it's,
wait,
it's
should
just...
we plug the intro sequence, our sound?
Yeah, so
while we're here,
just FYI,
may as well.
Opening music made by the guy who did the intro music or all of the music for Super Meat Boy.
Danny B.
Yep. Danny B.
Oh, dang.
He was just like, sure.
Take our music. Take my music. I don't need this.
I don't need this. I can produce this like it's nothing to me.
Yes, but he's allowing
it's so easy.
He's allowing us to use some of his wonderful music. Oh, and you can check out a link for his website on the in the article. This is. In this, that this is encased in,
right.
I guess.
The stub.
So, overall, what did you give the game?
It was 4.5 stars out of 5. Really great game. And I think this Summer of Arcade has been kind of rocky. So this is the last of the five for the 2012 Summer of Arcade. I think this
the
is like
a good one.
Yeah, this is like the one
hybrid,
worthy
I think hybrid
of,
was we gave it a four. Mm. But I in terms of like the standout success, would you say?
Yeah, I think people remember Dust as the one like, oh man, that was.
So this is like the Limbo or the Braid.
This is the Limbo, the Shadow Complex, the Braid, what have you.
I have. also this week, or actually isn't it like next week?
What is it?
Sleeping Dogs.
No, it's out today. No, I just got mine in the mail from Amazon.
Sleeping Dogs comes out this week.
Which you like. You reviewed this.
I loved Sleeping Dogs. Mm. So you can check out the review in which I talk about Sleeping Dogs for way too many words. But essentially, Sleeping Dogs is like a greatest hits album of every open world game that came out in the last 10 years, except they actually flows well. It's right. not like when you threw a bunch of songs onto a CD that you downloaded illegally from Napster and then you're like, it's just kind of like me listening to songs. It flows great. So
it's not a lousy mixtape.
No, it's one you made for a girl you really like.
Right. It's and a you say sure. anything quality
Absolutely.
Mixtape.
So it's open world, takes place in Hong Kong. You play as a Wei Shen, an undercover agent sent there. And so it really has the best elements from every open world game recently. So the melee is legitimately ripped straight out of Arkham City.
It's fine.
Except at any point you can grab somebody and shove them into an object in the environment and kill them with like different interactive things like shoving their head into a saw blade or throwing them in a dumpster.
So that's almost like Saints Row the Third, where you can just kind of toss people around. And
except it's like specific to every individual.
Context sensitive.
You can't. It's not just throwing them. Right. You can do that too. It's more
like
the Punisher. Game from like a few years ago. Except with Batman's. And then when you get a gun, which guns are super rare for a majority of the game because mm-hmm. there aren't that many guns floating around Hong Kong mm-hmm. compared to the U.S. People would rather just use a meat cleaver to make a point.
Right.
So when you do get a gun, it's super powerful, and anytime you jump over cover, it goes into super slow motion to the point where you can like clear an entire room if you just jump between cover a few times.
Like Red Dead Redemption?
More like sort of Stranglehold Max Payne. Okay. I mean a little Red Dead, but it's more like Red Dead, but it's not like targeting everyone. It's literally just super slow motion. And then if you run up to an enemy while you're holding a gun and you hit them, it does a special melee animation. So if you use a pistol, you'll run up their chest in slow motion and then jump backwards, and your gun automatically goes towards their head.
Nice.
And if you have like a shotgun,
and it gives you the satisfaction of being able
to. You still get to pull the trigger. Nice. And then if you have a shotgun, you'll hit them and they'll spin around and your gun will just go up to their back.
And it's just like
Batman never did that.
No. And then the driving is sort of like Just Cause or The Wheelman.
Okay.
Where you can jump out of your car onto another car to steal it while you're driving, or you can hit a button to bash your car, like defying every law of physics. Like you can just be going like 90 and you hit a button and a direction and your car just slams in that direction into another vehicle. And if you do it like twice, you take down a car. And it's super fun. And I usually hate when in any open world game, they're like, here's the section where you have to drag race for no reason. But in this game, because I could just bash the hell out of the other teammates, it was almost sort of Burnout-like in that I was getting huge satisfaction from just destroying my enemies. So it takes all of those and it just makes them flow together. Yeah. And there's even minor parkour where you can jump over objects and climb sort of Assassin's Creed style.
Very nice.
Super
this is
fun.
Definitely a case of good writers borrow, great writers steal.
Absolutely. Blatantly steal. I can't actually think of many original ideas in the game, and yeah. I don't even care. I'm so happy with that. The only issue I have is like I wish that the last thing they had stolen was Saints Row the Third's missions.
Okay.
Because the missions themselves, they push the story forward, and the story's good, but they push the story forward fine, but in and of themselves, they're never all that interesting. It's like chase a guy. Beat up his friends. He jumps on a car. You jump in a car. Steal his car. Drive him somewhere.
Yeah.
That's pretty much like that's half the missions in the game. Or it'll be like go into a warehouse and kill a bunch of people. Or chase a guy and then beat up a bunch of people. There's no huge, awesome element to the missions.
And for a game that's gone through as much as this game went through, that's kind of amazing. That's the only problem.
That's the only real problem I have with it. I mean, there's some other – I've heard people complain that like, oh, you're a cop and you murder people. And I'm like, yeah, suspension of disbelief. And my personal suspension of disbelief is if somebody in the movie, game, whatever, tells me this is why you have to do it, I'm cool with it. As long as it's explained. So when Pendrew, your superior, is like, you do whatever it takes. I don't care how many people have to die. Then I'm like, all right. Looks like during the beginning of this drag race, I'm running over the flag girl for no reason just because I can.
It's like Eastern Promises, right? The movie? Wasn't that the case where he was a
I think so, yeah. So it's
– personally, it's a pet peeve of mine that when like in open world games like these where they want to say like they're I think they do that as a defense later on where they can say, well, no, you're not some amoral sociopath. You're an undercover policeman. You had to
well,
do
I
it.
Mean, this is quintessential youth power fantasy. So it's like mm-hmm. that but, is the way that
and
these
they,
things
and
work.
They do have the only bonus is like you do interact with your handler. Who's just like, dude, what the hell's wrong with you? Why are you murdering all these people? And then your character's like, shut up, bro. You don't know what I have to deal with.
Can you just like not get arrested in the game? Like, is there no star?
You can get arrested.
Type of
cops
system?
Will chase you. You have to bash them. And then Grand Theft Auto style, the way they explain it is like you go to jail for murdering a bunch of people and your superior has to come bail you out.
Okay. Yeah.
Because he's like, yo, he's an undercover cop. Let him go.
It's fine.
And like it happened.
Bro,
it happened
fine.
In the story.
Family.
There's once in a story where just a character is like some cop is screaming at you like, you murdered all those people. And then your superior comes in like, yeah, you should let him go. And she's like, why would I do that? And he's like, he's undercover. And then she gets all angry. But it's super – it's super. I was joking that it's like you know you're doing – you know you're enjoying the game you're playing when you actually have to look up like the thesaurus for words that are like similar to fun. Because I just didn't want to – everything about the game is so fun.
That's a good – that is a good
And I gave it a
measure.
4.5 yeah. out of 5. And it is probably – I'm going to go back and keep playing it because there's even – like they even stole like auto log. Anything you do in the game, it immediately shows you how much better your friends did it and you're trying to rank against them. Like, how long did you run away from the cops? How long was your longest wheelie?
Wow.
What's the fastest you've driven? Like, even mission per mission, their scores. So – because you get less points for running over people mm-hmm. if you're on a mission, if you don't have to. Like, it tracks everything. although I don't think it specifically tracks how many civilians you murdered.
But alas.
Super fun. Can't recommend it enough.
You can see a second game coming from it. And
hopefully, maybe like 12 years from now once yeah. it gets pushed around between developers. But you can check out a video review for it on GamesRadar.com. And
right.
you can check out text reviews for all the games we talked about. So, yeah. Usually, right here mm-hmm. is where we're going to have an interview with a developer.
We're not going to do that?
Probably. Maybe not.
Maybe.
Time will tell.
You might get an interview with a developer.
So here's what's going to happen. This is episode 001 of Radio Radar, so we're playing it a little loose. Everyone's going to stop talking, and then if we immediately start talking again,
yeah.
it means we didn't have the interview.
Right.
In the future, though, there will be one, but we will be right back.
So, wait, before we go right back,
we're not,
I just want to let
this
you
is,
know.
Hold on. This is, we're not, we have not left yet.
Yeah, I just want to let you know that if you end up getting this interview, it's a pretty good interview.
It is. It's a good one. And
but you might not get it.
You might not get it. It may just roll with it. Just
tormenting
I mean,
the list.
But anyway.
So here is the silence.
This is Nolan North, and I played Captain Martin Walker in Spec Ops: The Line.
Obviously, you work on a lot of really big games. Have there ever been times where people you're working with have kind of dug in a little bit and tried to get information about their competitors through you?
No, I didn't know. I think everybody kind of keeps to a gentleman's agreement. There's always a kind of smile, you know, like, so are they going to do another Uncharted? And I'm like, I don't know. I mean, and I don't for sure. I mean, I can't imagine they wouldn't, but I don't know for sure, right? But, you know, no, nobody ever really does that. You know, like, you know, I've been over at Naughty Dog, you know, when we were doing Uncharted, and, you know, people from Rocksteady, you know, they're friends, and they want, you know, they're giving them a tour of their place, and they're talking. So I don't think all companies are as open as that, but, you know, I know that a lot of times, you know, I mean, I personally have never... seen that kind of thing. I'm sure it exists, but now, you know, in a friendly way, they'll be asking about stuff, but I'm very true to my NDA. I keep everything as quiet as possible.
I'm sure, yes.
Well, I think I'm a guy who, like, I don't want anyone to tell me what they're going to get me for my birthday or for Christmas. It's like, I like just to be surprised. I don't want to know because if I know that you bought it and it's in the house somewhere and I want it now, I'm going to go get it. You know, it's my damn house, and I will find it. But it's a, you know, so just don't tell me. Don't tell me anything. I like that anticipation. I love to see the stories of people lining up, you know, the night before a big title comes out, and they're at the GameStop, and they're sleeping bags, so they got to get that first one. I mean, I think that's great. I think that's, you know, that's part of the fun. You know, to get that thing and get, you know, right race home and pop it in. You know, I think that's... So, you know, I did try not to give too much away and, you know, let everybody get, you know, the experience from the get-go.
Sure. And also, so obviously you're known for a lot of big characters, but were there any smaller parts that you're especially proud of that you don't hear people bringing up that much?
Well, I've done so many of those, like, generic soldiers or thugs, you know, that you just always kind of throw in there. You know, there's some titles that are bigger titles that I get to do some really fun, interesting voices for. Like, you know, I worked with a Valve recently on Dawn of the Ancients, Dota 2. And, you know, I did a two-headed ogre, is it Ogre Magi, I think he was called, and it's like a two-headed, and one talks like this, and the one's here, and the one would tweak, and I would literally go from the left side of my mouth to the right side, because they would finish each other's sentences and go back and forth, and just the faster I could do it, the funnier the character, and more interesting that character became, so that was one that was a lot of fun, you know, I mean, you get to do things like that. Yeah, no, I mean, there have been some really good things that I'm proud of, and it's funny because, you know, people say, oh, he's in all these games. It's like, well, you know, my buddy Steve Bloom has got the Guinness record for being in the most video games, so I don't know why people get onto me for being in, but, you know, I just hit a lot of big titles at the same time, and, you know, like Nathan Drake, obviously, when Assassin's Creed, Desmond Miles came out, and you know, that was before, you know, nobody knew who I was, and so I'm just, you know, Nathan Drake's just my voice, and so is Desmond, but his attitude's different. So Martin Walker is very much my voice, but, you know, it degrades. I mean, it has to, you know, that's a character when you get so in-depth with it. You know, I want it to be me.
Right.
I mean, I treat those titles, Assassin's Creed, Uncharted, Spec Ops, I mean, I treat these things like if I were shooting a film, if I were going on set and on camera doing a film. That's the way I do it. I mean, I'm, you know, and unless they said, oh, you're playing a, you know, he's a British officer, okay, you know, I'll do a British accent, but, you know, whatever, you know, I don't treat it any differently. I think gaming and gamers deserve the respect of the actor giving a performance the same way he'd give it on camera. You know, why should you treat something that makes more money than a movie differently than you would do in a movie?
Right.
And you know, and I think gamers deserve that respect. So I'm not going to put on some hokey act, you know, voice. I can, and ultimately it comes down to the director. If they say, no, we don't want that, we want you to just, can you make it a little higher pitch? Can you go a little deeper? It's like, yeah, can you put a little rasp? You know, let's play with it and we'll find exactly what they want. I mean, it's
sure.
Their game. But, you know, those titles all kind of hit at the same time and they were the lead characters, so, and they're big hits. So, you know, I mean, if they had all kind of just died a quick death, no, we wouldn't be having this conversation.
And my last question, I know you said you don't play all the games you're in, but...
No, but my kids are getting older and I get to start watching it through them.
That's cool.
Yeah, my 12-year-old came in the other day and said, man, I couldn't get through that level, but I killed you 12 times before I got through. I was like, thank you very much.
But, yeah. So my question, though, is from other games that you weren't in, maybe classic games like old Mario or Zelda, do you have, like, a favorite quote or anything like that?
A favorite quote?
Like a favorite line from an old game.
You know what? I just remember when I was a kid. There's so many great things, but one of my favorites, it's ridiculous, but I remember playing in the arcades Knockout.
Right.
And, you know, Bald Bull, and I got addicted to that game for a while, just firing quarters into that thing, but I used to love that thing where at the end it would go, nyai, 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 nyai. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, Knockout, nyai, 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 nyai. And I can hear that in my head sometimes. You know, like, and like he's like, come on, come on. You know, Bald Bull, come on, come on. And remember those little things, you know. You know, of course, there wasn't a lot of voice when I was into gaming, when, you know, it was just, you know, some vocal, you know, it's me, Mario, do-do-do-do-do-do. I mean, I remember the music more than anything. I remember that mantra as the Space Invaders just kind of came down and it would get faster. I mean, that was my, you know, that was my audio in my day. You know, I mean, it's you know, by the time I, you know, I don't really, I mean, I remember, I'm trying to think if there's any, because sometimes I'll hang up off a call like this, and then I'll go, oh, I should have told them about that one. I always liked the Mario, Mario Brothers was always great. I remember Donkey Kong. I used to play it on an old Atari. My dad let me put it on the color television in our basement one summer. It was like, oh, this is the greatest. We finally got a color TV. And I put it up, put that on there, and like, oh, this color. You know, I mean, it was just so rudimentary, but it was, it was my time. I mean, now I watch this stuff now, and I'm like, anyway, X square, which is L1? It's over here, and it's like at the top of the bottom. You know, my kids know it. They just bang, bang, bang. But, you have to understand, one of the video games I used to play, I'm going to forget about this. It was Zork, and it wasn't even a video game. It was called Zork, and it was like on the old PCs, and it would literally just be text on a black screen. It says you walk into a corner room. There's a tree in the northwest corner. What do you want to do? It's like, hey, climb the tree. It's like, climb the tree. It's like, you know, like a magician just kills you. Like, start over. Like, hey, but, you know, but it was just, it was, I remember those things. My brother and I just went, kind of sitting there and trying to figure it out, being up all night. I love gaming. I just did G4 TV's the top 100 games. I narrated the top 100 video games of all time.
Right.
And it was such an education on games that I kind of missed in the years that I was, you know, at college. I didn't play the trip down memory lane that I did. It was pretty cool. And I think Mario ended up on the top, number one.
I think so.
I remember. I think Super Mario Brothers was the top one. So, I do. I remember Knockout, though. I just remember those, oh, come on, come on. And
you reverb in your voice when you say it. You remember it
yeah.
much.
Come on. Yeah, it was like, come on, come on, come on, come on. But he did something like, oh, no, that's it. That's the line. He's down for the count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, knock out. That's my line. There it is. I figured it out. He's down for the count. That's the one I remember. Because I was in the arcades. I was probably 11, 12, 13, somewhere in there. I don't know. It was early 80s. And it would just be like, he's down for the count. Because I knew you had him.
Just when
and that damn takedown bald bull. And that was it.
And we're back. Jumping on to the community segment, the final part of this show. But in the meantime, before we actually dive in proper to the community segment, which we'll explain, obviously, part of that, I guess, is announcing officially that Games Radar is doing another 24-hour marathon.
Hooray!
Which means we're staying up way too late and playing way too many video games. It's going to be really soon, like way too soon, the 24th of August at noon into the Pacific time, into the 25th of August. And we're going to be doing a live stream during it with video. And
is that a Friday, Saturday, or Saturday, Sunday?
It's a Friday, Saturday.
Okay.
I mean, that way we get to slack off for half of a day and play video games.
Nice.
So it's really win-win. So
I think my slot is at midnight, so
that should be good. I'm actually slotted to try to host the entire thing.
Okay.
Which I volunteered for. So
I
make terrible decisions. So, I mean, this is the first announcement of it. You can check on Games Radar for more information about it in the coming days. We'll hopefully have a schedule next week so you can figure out what games we're playing. What odds are we'll play something you have. And if not, just TF2 is going to be free, so we'll play that with you. But anyway, community segment. Hooray! We don't want to spend a ton of time talking about who we are in case
certainly
you don't know
less
us.
Less time than what we spent talking about this interview.
Yes. So we're gonna you'll learn about us over the course of many podcasts. But in the meantime, we're going to in the beginning of the community segment until we feel like stopping it. We're going to tell you one anecdote.
Till our vanity has run its course.
One anecdote about us that hopefully gets you to learn a little bit about us. I will start this week, and then next week we will pass it over.
Okay.
But I will say that my first video game memory ever was when I was like – I must have been under four, because when I was super young, my dad bought me an NES. And I remember he bought me an NES and he bought me Super Mario Brothers. Now, you don't really hand a controller to a two-year-old or whatever and tell him to play Super Mario Brothers.
Unless you're a poor father.
Well, he didn't bother teaching me how to play. And I remember specifically that he never taught me how to jump. Because original Super Mario Brothers, if you die, you hand the controller back to the other player.
Oh, my God. Mm.
He just wanted to play Mario.
Wait. What if he didn't know himself?
Because he would get farther. I remember watching him play and be like, you're doing so good. And then he'd hand me the controller and I was like two. And I'd be like, walk, die to first Goomba, hand him controller back.
Wow.
So my earliest childhood memory is essentially watching. I mean, it's not much different than when like your parent or somebody hands you a controller that's not plugged in when you're a kid. And it's like, yeah, just go ahead and play. Except he was at least allowing me to try to learn.
Yeah.
But yeah, he didn't teach me how to jump. And I just kind of would die on the first Goomba.
At least you had a console. Dang.
That's my first.
I remember my dad like borrowed one of my earliest memories is my dad borrowed a ColecoVision from his friend and it was a horse racing game. He's like, look, watch, bet which one is going to win. Like that was the whole game of just watching simulated horse racing.
Wow.
What about you? First gaming memory.
That's riveting.
First gaming memory is being out in a barn playing the Atari 2600.
Will you banish there?
This explains so much about this.
I am from Ohio, by the way.
What, did you grow up playing games in a barn? Is my new thing I'm going to yell at you on occasion.
But no, basketball. Atari basketball.
Nice.
It wasn't a particularly formative memory, but that is the first memory I have of playing video games.
And what about you, Lucas? You're like six, so I'm guessing that your first memory was like Super
Smash
Brothers.
But I played Super Mario 64.
The first Mario game, Mario Sunshine.
Whoa. I actually – okay.
You're like 1 year younger than me.
I remember before – so my parents would not get me a gaming console when I was little because they thought –
I'm surprised that the child services didn't take you away. What terrible parents.
No, they did
you
the right thing.
You persevered, man.
They did the right thing because if I had a console and this was their
You'd
fear –
You'd be better at your job right now?
Oh, wow.
I would have taken a lot more than that.
They feared that I would literally, like, play until I died. Like those dudes that take...
In China that, like, 48-hour
like,
binges
do crack
on.
And then play StarCraft for
it's
3 days.
It's actually cocaine.
Oh, excuse me. But yeah.
I think it's actually super mushrooms.
Right, it might be.
So I was pining so desperately to play video games that I would take catalogs and cardboard. I would cut the cardboard to look like a Game Boy. And I would draw buttons on it, okay? Are you following me?
I am with you.
Wow. I'm following you in the same way that I follow, like, when I'm watching Breaking Bad and I know something's horribly depressing right. is about to happen and I start bracing myself.
The way I follow a Suzanne Summers commercial with a child in Africa.
So
I'm about to change the channel, by the way.
I'd take the catalog.
Of the angels.
So you know say it was like Street Fighter or something. I would cut out the picture of the box art.
Wow.
Glue it to the back of this cardboard Game Boy and pretend I was playing the game.
Wow.
And this explains so much about you.
It was very formative. You know, my imagination had to do all the work. So, and yeah.
Sad. And that is actually our question of the week.
Oh!
How fun that is. We're bringing that guy back. Question of the week, what's your first gaming memory? You can leave it as a comment in the article on Games Radar. And if
Twitter?
You want... And yeah, and shoot us a message at GR Radio Radar. If you want to hashtag Radio Radar, would make things
Booyah.
Easier.
I think so.
Also, people have asked about fan art. If for whatever reason you want to draw what you think we sound like, which is probably boring, shoot us a direct message.
I'm incredibly interested in it.
Shoot us a message. No, I'm saying we're boring.
Oh, right.
Shoot us a message.
Just
and same
like
thing.
Just
a Twitter message, and we'll post them in the article
if
there are any.
If there are any.
Probably just pictures of us like hanging ourselves. That's my personal guess. Unless that interview was there, in which case everything is awesome.
Right. And also, if you just want to send in some fan art of us hanging ourselves,
that'd be fine.
That's your homework.
I don't want to see myself hanging.
All right, so just Lucas then.
Right.
Actually, not Lucas. Everyone but Lucas. Lucas, okay. Lucas can be watching us and loving
can I be
it.
The
he'll
one
be the,
pulling
yeah,
the gallows?
Yeah, be the executioner. Lucas fine. Will be the executioner. Cooper, Henry,
Lucas,
and
I always knew you were going to be the one that killed me. And that is it for this week. Thank you for listening to episode one of Radio Radar. We are I know that the last few months have been rough in terms of Games Radar podcast situation, but I can't tell you how happy we are to be doing this again.
Radio silence, if you will.
There was some radio silence. No. And we are genuinely happy to do this, and we want your feedback long as it's positive and reaffirms our egos.
It feels great to be back in this chair talking into this microphone.
Yeah. And that's the same exact
the very
microphone.
Same, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's where you sat every time.
I chose the seat for a reason.
Wait, seriously? That best was your
view,
seat?
Best view of the TV? Or?
No. I mean, just because this was where I always sat. Or if sometimes I'd sit there. I was usually on this side.
I came in the
arms of the angels.
Anyway.
See you next week. And every week after that forever.
Or at least until 199.
All right, so the question is, which tells a better story? So throw your cards in face down.
So wait, we pick two of these things?
One card, Hank.
So I lied. I feel like one of the...
Right. Wow, I have...
one of the...
That was quick, Tom.
I know. One of the ones that I was like, there's no way it's ever going to be this card.
Wow.
I picked that card.
Wait, are you the judge?
All right. No, we're not even doing a judge. People out there can judge if they want to.
That's even better.
Flip them.
Okay.
What is that? Pac-Man?
Yep.
We got Pac-Man, NBA Jam, Grim Fandango, and Scribble Knots.
Grim Fandango.
Scribble Knots.
Otto wins.
Hold on. So the question is, which tells a better story? Let me get a timer going so we can actually time it. And... Tom, Scribble Knots, which tells the better story?
So the thing about Scribble Knots is you can tell any story you want because you can just, like, write in your own words. You can literally, it's literally like telling your own story. So in retrospect, it probably depends on the ability of the storyteller. But assuming that the player is a good storyteller, then you can tell as amazing of a story as you want. I mean, you could basically, the example that is always used is, like, you can tell the story of a robot dinosaur tromping through the Amazon with a little boy wielding a laser pistol on his back.
Sure.
Having adventures and triumphing over the world. So when the little boy's dreams come true, that's the best story of all.
Wow. What about you, Hank? Why does Grim Fandango tell a better story?
Well, everybody loves Tim Schafer's writing. I mean, come on. But it's also, you know, it's a film noir type thing. It's got smoking in it, which is great. And that
kids love that.
Yeah. It's got a jazzy soundtrack. I'll admit it's a game I've never played, but I'm talking about
it. Oh, my God.
All right.
Lucas, why does NBA Jam tell a better story?
He's on fire, but how did he get on fire? Okay? That's the real question. Now, channels like ESPN, they're dedicated to telling the stories that unfold during basketball games. NBA Jam does that every time you play. It's a new story every time. How did Bill Clinton and Will Smith get onto the same team? You don't know.
Was Will Smith in NBA Jam?
Yes. Secret character? Yeah.
Okay. Sorry.
And, the new one or the old one? The original?
The original.
The oldie. Huh? Yeah.
There is no other. There is no new one, Tom. Come on.
No, there's.
I mean, there is, but it's.
Bad, I thought,
it's right? not. We're it's not the same.
Whatever.
So it's about the journey.
Are you reinforcing my?
I'm asking. I'm prompting you because you're staring at me like a lost child.
Yes.
All right. So Pac-Man is mine. The reason Pac-Man tells a great story isn't because of the T-shirts that I see people wearing of Pac-Man representing addiction to pills.
Right.
Because it's not actually about that. It's about whatever you have a problem with. It's about your personal addiction. It's about consumption. I mean, I personally, let's theoretically say I had a problem drinking too much alcohol.
Theoretically?
Theoretically.
Sure. Let's say that is the case.
Let's say that's the case. Then that would be my story told through Pac-Man, and the ghosts that are chasing me being sort of the addiction that drives me forward. I can't stop consuming or else I die. And let's say Henry has an addiction to buying wrestling
action
figures. So this is
like affirming your addiction? I can't stop.
It's affirming the reason for your addiction. But it's not until you turn back and defeat your own ghosts that you can beat your addiction. And that's the message it's trying to tell you.
Dude, I literally have a picture that summarizes everything you're saying.
I know. That's right, the shirt I'm talking about.
Oh. Those ghosts will eventually catch you and kill you at some point.
They will
unless
eventually
you destroy
catch you.
Them and turn off the game.
The only...
Which is to say, kill yourself?
Listen, people can get to their
end your existence.
All right. I think you just advocated suicide.